It's been a little over a week since we've ended the Feast of Unleavened Bread. A week ago yesterday, only a week ago yesterday, was the last holy day of that festival. It seems, in some ways, it seems like it was a long time ago, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, but it hasn't been that long. For some of us, we may still have a few remnants of unleavened bread around the house that didn't get eaten up or thrown away. I threw away some of ours. I had purchased some Scandinavian flatbread, 5-grain hard flatbread that reminded me of Rye Crisp of the days of old, and I wasn't going to eat that, so I tossed that out. We've all returned to our normal bread diets. You know, that good soft bread sandwich. Bagels, donuts, pizza. Unleavened bread is behind us until next year. And we'll go through the process again of all the lessons that we learned this year and the meanings of those days. Our focus now is counting down to our next holy day. That should be our focus now. Today is day number 14 in our count to 50 to Pentecost. In 5 Sabbaths, plus a day, we will arrive at the 50th day and celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, where God has placed His name. And that day will be here before we know it. So now, during these 5 weeks remaining, it's a good time to begin planning and preparing ourselves to more fully understand and get excited about and anticipate God's next holy day. Maybe over the next 5 Sabbaths, we could set aside certain scriptures or read certain booklets to get us ready for the next holy day of God. Now, my message this morning concerns prepping ourselves for the next holy day, getting ourselves ready. And I've chosen not so much to speak on the various meanings of Pentecost. That will come. But rather on how and maybe why we count our way to the 50th day. God designed uniqueness in arriving at Pentecost that is not used in the other holy days. God gives us a span of 50 days to groom ourselves for what Pentecost has in store for us. I've entitled this message today, Counting to Pentecost. Counting to Pentecost. Now, to begin with, I think most of us know, and this is a refresher for most of us, that God's holy days reveal and outline to us God's master plan of salvation for all of mankind. And in that master plan, the gift of life eternal is laid out for us. Our destiny, our future is in these days of God. The holy days walk us through this plan of salvation from beginning to end. And without the holy days and without keeping these holy days, and that's prime. A lot of people know about the holy days, but they don't keep the holy days. And without keeping these holy days, I'm not sure we could fully see and understand the plan and purpose of God. Maybe some here and a little bit over there, but not the full design of what God is doing with carnal man. The holy days make a difference in our understanding. And of course, it takes His Spirit in us to see that fullness. And God is sharing that fullness today with only a handful of people. Only a handful. A sort of first fruits of His, which is part of the meaning of the Feast of Pentecost. Now, God has set in motion and timed these days to correspond somewhat to the physical harvest seasons of the Holy Land. The ancient people of Israel harvested the grain of the land and celebrated their physical abundance around the holy days. God today has shown us through these same holy days that He is harvesting people spiritually for life eternal in His kingdom. There's a difference. Then it was physical. Today, the harvesting is spiritual. Now, in five Sabbaths, and we'll get into that soon, in five Sabbaths plus a day, the Feast of Harvest will be here. This holy day is also called the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Weeks, Day of Pentecost. The Bible uses all of these descriptive names to reveal slightly different aspects and meanings of this day in God's plan. On a typical Pentecost service that's coming up soon, we'll have messages on the first fruits and the chosen of God. We'll have messages on God harvesting His spiritual family, on counting a certain number of weeks and days to this festival, and of course, messages concerning God's Spirit and power that bring His purpose to pass. Possessing God's Spirit allows the deeper things of the holy days to be understood. Without God's Spirit, they're limited to the world. And God's Spirit, again, has a lot to do with the day of Pentecost. The world in general doesn't understand God's days, at least yet. Someday, they will understand. Someday, all will rest and worship God on His days. Now, let's turn and read an overview of the festivals very quickly in these days of God. They're all neatly summarized for us in Leviticus chapter 23. So, let's start there in verse 1, and I would imagine that every holy day season, we turn to Leviticus chapter 23. I'm going to stay in Leviticus my whole sermon message. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1. And again, this is a refresher to what I'm gradually going to get into, counting to Pentecost. Verse 1, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, The feast of the Lord," and some translations say, "the Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feasts, my appointed times." Verse 3, "6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest." Complete rest. a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Now today we're gathered together. We're assembled here obeying this very command. The seventh day is the day of rest. It's not a day of work, but a day for having a holy convocation. And we know today is the seventh day because of the Jewish people identifying this day as their historical Sabbath. Jews and educated Christians alike know that today is the seventh day Sabbath of the Bible. And few would argue that. The Sabbath has been used in the past to describe a Christian Sunday, but we understand, and that's understood, that that's a borrowed term. The Sabbath, the true Sabbath of the Bible, is the seventh day, which is today. Verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. So God has appointed the times of his festivals when he wants them to occur. Not when we can make it a convenient effort to be there. It's not like having a summer camp meeting when school's out and it's easy to get the family to go. It's when he wants them to occur. Our choice in all of this is whether we want to obey these appointed times or not. See, we have a choice here. Verse 5. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. Now, God gets very specific of his appointed times. The 14th day of the first month. So, to keep the Passover, we have to have a calendar. We have to have a system. Something giving us months and days so we can go to that first month and that 14th day. And as we know, the United Church of God looks to the framework of the common Jewish calendar to keep these appointed times of God. A common calendar brings unity in observing these days around the world. Verse 6. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Now, a little over a week ago, we finished this 7-day festival. We finished eating that symbolic bread that pictures us living a new life in righteousness. And we know the meaning of that festival. We began eating it on the 15th day of the first month for 7 days. Let's skip Pentecost for a moment and go to the fall festivals. Let's go down to verse 23 now. Verse 23. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 24, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, of loud blasts, a holy convocation. So, to observe the Feast of Trumpets, we look to the calendar, to the seventh month and the first day of that month, a new moon. Verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also the 10th day of this seventh month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls, and that means to fast, and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. So to know when to fast and when to gather together in holy assembly on atonement, we need a calendar that gives us the 10th day of the seventh month. Moving on. Verse 33. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, 'The 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day of that 7, there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the 8th day, a different festival, you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work on it." On the first and the 8th day, no work. Now, my point in walking through these holy days is to show that God gives us a specific month and day when to observe His appointed feast days. We simply go to the accepted calendar, and for us, it's the Jewish calendar, to find the right month and right day to worship God. But there is one exception. God doesn't give us a certain month and a certain day for the Feast of Harvest, for Pentecost. It's not there. Pentecost is very distinctive in that way. The Bible gives us a starting point to count from, and then we have to count 50 days to Pentecost. And we have to do it every year. I think we know that. But it's good to occasionally review that counting process. How long has it been since you personally counted the days to Pentecost? You know, we can let years and years go by, and I'm guilty of this, and not really sit down and count out the days. You know, we have these little cheater cards that we all get mailed every year to us by the church. And it's so easy to look on here instead of going to the reference point on a calendar and counting out 50 days. I want to do that today. I want to spend a little time counting out the process, describing the process as we count down to 50. And so that's what I want to do here in the remainder of the time. And then at the end, I want to talk about why 50. Why did God choose 50 days? Why not 20? Or 30 or 40? So let's go to verse 15 now. Verse 15, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 15. And some of this is a little technical, a lot of numbers, but hang with me, okay? I think it has value to it. Verse 15, "And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath." And we'll review what Sabbath that is shortly here. "From the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed." Verse 16, "Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord, and you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generation." So, this is the instructions the Bible gives on arriving at the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Harvest, the Feast of First Fruits, the Day of Pentecost. And what we find there in verses 15 and 16 are three conditions that guide our count to that exact 50th day. We're not given a specific month, specific day of the month for that holy day, for Pentecost. And let's remember that these conditions in these two verses are given in the general context of the previous Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, before I go through those three conditions again and identify the three, I want to back up and read a little bit in verse 9 to get a big overview context. This is right after describing the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Verse 9, Leviticus 23, describes a very important ritual that the Israelites had. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest." A sheaf is just a small cutting of grain that can be held in the hand or put into a basket so it could be presented and waved before God by the priest. "He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it." Now, this special wave sheaf ceremony took place on the day after the Sabbath. The church, the United Church, has studied and accepted that this Sabbath spoken of here refers to the weekly Sabbath that falls within the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It does not refer to an annual high day Sabbath. And let's remember that the wave sheaf offering described here in Leviticus 23 represents to us today, if we have eyes to see, a resurrected Jesus Christ being offered and accepted by God the Father. Christ was still in the grave on the day after the first high day Sabbath. So this ceremony couldn't apply to a high day Sabbath. Christ was still in the grave at that time, on the day after the first high day. But after 3 days and three nights, Christ did rise late on the weekly Sabbath, right before sunset. At the end of 3 days and three nights, he was seen by some early the very next day on Sunday, the day after the weekly Sabbath. He ascended to the Father that same Sunday day. And we know this from Scripture. John 20, if you like to turn there, you're welcome to, or just note it, John 20, verse 17. And this is after his resurrection. Christ spoke to Mary Magdalene on Sunday morning. Verse 17, John 20, Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." The wave sheaf ceremony pictured Christ's ascension to the Father. The ancient Israelites did not see that, of course, did not have that understanding. We have it today. Waving this sheaf of first fruit grain before God marked the beginning of the spring harvest time for 50 days leading up to Pentecost. The people could not go and harvest the grain until this ceremony was finished. Christ is labeled the first fruits two times by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So with that background of this special ceremony, let's read again the three conditions that I mentioned of how we count to Pentecost. Again, I know this is somewhat technical. And if you had a map or had a calendar in front of you, which like I've got right here, it would make it easier. And I'm going to put this on the back table for those that would like to come and see it. And I have all the major points that I'm telling you verbally noted on here. And you'll be able to see maybe a little bit better. Verse 15. Now, back in Leviticus 23, verse 15, the three conditions. And you shall count for yourself. Here's condition number one. From the day after the Sabbath, from the day you brought the wave sheaf, the sheaf of the wave offering, from the day after the Sabbath, from the day beginning on that day. So that's condition number one. We start our count of day number one and our countdown to Pentecost on the day after the Sabbath, a weekly Sabbath. Day number one is always a Sunday. We use the weekly Sabbath within the seven-day festival of unleavened bread. Condition number two, verse 15. Seven Sabbaths shall be completed. So, this condition says we must have seven Sabbaths in our countdown to 50. This can only mean weekly Sabbaths, since seven annual Sabbaths wouldn't be logical, wouldn't make any sense. So between the Sunday of day number one and the 50th day, there must be seven weekly Sabbaths. Now condition number three, verse 16. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. So we count to the day after that seventh weekly Sabbath, and that is a Sunday. The day after the weekly Sabbath is a Sunday. So we start our initial count on a Sunday, and we end our count of 50 on a Sunday. Piece of cake, right? Got it all down. Well, it's all in writing. And it all can be looked up and reviewed later if it doesn't make sense. Or you can come up, talk to me about it. Talk to Mr. Cagle, Mr. Clement. They'll help you out. Now, it should be noted that the Jewish community does not follow the same rules that we do in counting to Pentecost. Although we use the same calendar framework as the Jews do, they begin their countdown with the day after the first high day Sabbath of unleavened bread. That's different than what we do. We use the weekly Sabbath within unleavened bread. They use the first high day Sabbath. So this causes the Jewish Feast of Weeks, which I believe they call Shavuot, to usually be several days prior to our count of 50 days. Their festival, their Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, can be on any day of the week. To them, Pentecost is always on the sixth day of the third month, the month of Sivan. Because they use a fixed holy day to begin their count, their counting process, in essence, becomes kind of a fixed day. So they, in essence, have a certain month and a certain day that they can go to on their calendar. But we can't do that because we use different reference points. Now, by circumstance, this year, 2015, the Jewish Feast of Weeks and our Pentecost fall on the exact same day. And that's because the weekly Sabbath that we use as our reference point and the first high day Sabbath of unleavened bread fell on the same day this year. Remember, we had a double Sabbath on the first day of unleavened bread. So we have the same common reference point this year. Now, last year, 2014, the Jewish Feast of Weeks fell 3 or 4 days prior to our Pentecost. Now, if you go even deeper, you know, scholars well understand that at the time of Christ, there was not harmony in the method of counting to Pentecost. And that's not unusual. We find disharmony at the time of Christ in other days. The Sadducees believed different than the Pharisees. The Sadducees believed in a Sunday Pentecost, just as we in United count today, using the day after the weekly Sabbath as a reference point. The Pharisees, however, believed as the Jews do today, using the day after the first high day Sabbath as their reference point. So they didn't get along on that, and they argued. And it depended on who was in control of the temple at the time, got the upper hand in which counting method was used for Pentecost of the time. And if you like this type of study, if you like to go more and deeper into all of this, then there's a church study paper entitled Pentecost and its Observance on our UCG members' website. We do have many, many study papers out there, and that study paper goes into all of what I've talked about and this controversy of that there was not unity at the time of Christ. Now, since we all perfectly understand this now, maybe we should do a quick countdown, a test, to see if we come out and land on the right, proper day of Pentecost. Of course, if you had this little calendar in front of you, it would make it a lot easier to follow. As I talk, to verbalize this, it's hard for you to, I know, visualize some of this. But if I look at my cheater card, you know, here it says Pentecost this year is on Sunday, May 24. Let's count it down to make sure. Just take a moment. For this year, the first weekly Sabbath within the seventh day Feast of Unleavened Bread was on April the 4th. So if you remember back, our Passover was observed Thursday night, Passover day, Friday, the weekly Sabbath, April 4. That was the weekly Sabbath within the first 7 days, the 7 days of unleavened bread. And just as time as it happens at times, that was also the first high day festival, and we were all in Oklahoma City that day. The day after that weekly Sabbath was Sunday, April 5. That Sunday becomes day number one. Day number one in our countdown. So if we would start there as number one and count 50 days, beginning with that Sunday, April 5, we come to Sunday, April 24. Exactly. And so that's how we arrive at Pentecost. It meets the three conditions that I mentioned in verses 15 and 16. It also has those seven weekly Sabbaths within it. And again, I'll put this calendar on the back table. You can take a look if you have any trouble seeing that flow of counting to 50. Now let me change directions a little here and ask, why is Pentecost 50 days from the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Why did God choose to appoint this high day, this holy day, 50 days out? Why not 10 days? 40 days? You know, we have one day that separates Passover and unleavened bread. Then we have 9 days that separate trumpets and atonement. 5 more days to the Feast of Tabernacles. Why 50? Why 50? Do these days between mean anything? Well, for sure, God knows. For sure, God knows. He assigned these days. He appointed these times. He determined them. He spaced them out according somewhat to the physical harvest seasons of the Holy Land and according to his spiritual plan of salvation. So we can somewhat speculate. He doesn't tell us exactly why he spaced out the days between the holy days exactly. The word Pentecost is used in the New Testament 3 times, in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 20, and in 1 Corinthians 16. The Greek word for Pentecost simply means 50th. 50th. So if we go and search the Bible for any other significant references of 50th, then maybe we have to consider that as something related to a principle of why God chose to count to 50 to Pentecost. And if we do that, we're going to have a hit. We're going to have a find if we searched the computer Bible for the word 50th. We're going to land and see and come to this joyous year of Jubilee. The count of 50 days to Pentecost seems to parallel the count of 50 years to the Jubilee year. So let's notice and read a little bit. We're going to drop down to Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25 and see what God says about the Jubilee year. Moses, going all the way back to Moses, was given instruction by God while still on Mount Sinai after receiving the Ten Commandments about the year of Jubilee. Leviticus 25, verse 1, "And the Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, When you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the 7th year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard." Now, this describes the Sabbath land rest that God gave ancient Israel. And so here we see cycles of 7 years. The land was to rest every 7th Sabbath year, just as God's people people were to rest every seventh day of the week. Now down to verse 8. And you shall count seven Sabbaths of years. That is seven cycles or sets of 7 years each. For yourself, 7 times 7 years. And the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. 7 times 7. Verse 9. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. Now, if we were to read on, which I don't want to do, we would see that this 50th year symbolized liberty and freedom to the people. It was a time when physical lands and property that had been leased out in the past could now be fully recovered by the original family owner. It was a time when Israelite servants could be set free from those they were indentured to. It was a time of celebration and joy and new beginning in all the land. Things were fresh again. Yet sadly, you know, we have no evidence that Israel ever were faithful and obedient enough to celebrate a year of Jubilee. It's not mentioned that they did in Scriptures. Some extra-biblical references refer somewhat to it, but the Bible never confirms that Israel ever observed a year of Jubilee. Today, it seems this 50th year of Jubilee and liberty spoken by Moses can help us find some meaning in our personal countdown of 50 days to Pentecost. For only in God's Spirit, which has a lot of relevance to Pentecost, and that Spirit was first given in Mass on the day of Pentecost, it's described in Acts chapter 2, only in God's Spirit can we find ultimate liberty and joy. Apart from God's Spirit, we can't find true freedom from sin and happiness long term. God's Spirit helps us overcome, setting us free from guilt and sin. God's Spirit releases us from slavery and bondage to this world and to Satan the devil. And as first fruits, we are redeemed and restored anew by the power of Christ living in us by the Holy Spirit. So as we count down, today is day number 14. As we count down and get closer to Pentecost, we should maybe feel a sense of freedom, more freedom from sin, knowing that our spiritual liberty is grounded in Christ and His Spirit in us. You know, each year during the Passover and Unleavened Bread, we examine ourselves and we come to see just how leavened in sin we are in our lives. We see the need to repent and turn and live according to God's righteous law. God desires obedience from us and the display of fruit to prove out our repentance. You know, Matthew 3, you don't need to turn there. Matthew 3, when the people and the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to John the Baptist for baptism, John warned them and said, in part, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Show yourself that you've repented. Produce some fruits. And God wants to see us respond to His calling, His invitation to be a part of His kingdom. He wants to see a commitment before He gives us His Spirit. He wants to see a commitment. And so He gives us a symbolic span of 50 days, you could say, to demonstrate ourselves to Him, to remove sin and make ourselves acceptable and ready for the gift of His Holy Spirit to come. God blends all of these things together. If we have spiritual eyes to see, we can see a deeper understanding there. If we have God's Spirit, we are first fruits heading toward a glorious change to full Spirit. And that's if we remain faithful. We have to be faithful. We are counting down to the day that we will be made perfect in God's Spirit. God is harvesting us to be His firstborn children. And we will hear many messages all day on that special day, on the 50th day. So, in conclusion, there is purpose, there is meaning in our counting to Pentecost, in our daily breathing and living of these 50 days to Pentecost, preparing ourselves, taking the days of unleavened bread and their meaning, rooting sin out, replacing it with the bread of life, eating that unleavened bread during these symbolically unto these 50 days. Today is day number 14 in our countdown. Pentecost reveals the power and the Spirit of the great God we serve. So, brethren, let's be thankful for God's calling and for His Spirit that gives us liberty as first fruits of His.